Well, hey guys.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So, this week, state budget process officially kicked off in the legislature. First votes. And you know what that means.
I don't know what.
I brought Jenga.
Jenga. The podcast's traditional biennial budgetary tabletop game.
Budget Jenga. It's the perfect way to symbolize the decisions that go on in the budget process. You pull out a brick here and there, maybe it'll hold together. But you pull out too many, and the whole thing collapses, just like a budget.
It's very, very tricky.
So, who's going to go first?
Well, I covered the joint finance hearing this week. I'll go.
All right, Sean.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Jenga!
Oh, my gosh!
What the heck, Sean?
Why did you explode the Jenga?
Well, look, even if it's just symbolism, we have to strive for accuracy here. And Republicans decided this week that they're just not going to play Jenga. They're going to build their own budget instead.
All right. I guess that makes sense.
Right. So where should we start?
Well, first we got to clean up these dang Jenga bricks that Sean left all over the place.
Jenga!
And then we can talk about everything Republican lawmakers did to the governor's budget proposal this week. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, the first cuts from the state budget.
The first cut is the deepest. Baby, I know the first cut is the deepest.
Okay, so you might be listening to this song here and wondering to yourself, what is this version of the 2003 Sheryl Crow hit, The First Cut is the Deepest? Well, I'm here to tell you, this is actually the 1967 Cat Stevens version of that song, which he actually wrote, and I didn't know that, but I gotta say, I like his version better. And either way, you know, it's super appropriate here. To the lay listener, you might think it's about that deep pain that comes from the loss of a formative early love, but it's actually about Republican lawmakers cutting 384 items from Governor Tony Evers' state budget proposal. That first cut they made in joint finance, it is the deepest.
You're getting so good at these, John. I think we need to dedicate the first 5 minutes of our show to just let you kind of wax, you know, about whatever music we chose for that week's program.
It's the WPR Politics and Fake Music History Podcast.
That's right. I'll give you a history of a song I just discovered thanks to Google about 10 minutes ago.
This podcast brought to you by Wikipedia.
Right. Yep.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's amazing.
Anyway, back to budget Jenga. It's been a while, and it's harder to play these days in the age of divided government. They just knock that tower down.
Yeah, I mean, so we created budget Jenga back when Governor Walker was in office, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's
it was
right.
Sort of, yeah, the budget process was very different. Because Republicans agreed with a lot of the stuff that Walker proposed for his budget. And so it was more of the classic, like, here's the Jenga tower, we're removing some stuff, we're putting some stuff back. It's a very, complicated dance, sort of. And
a literal balancing act.
Exactly. And
I see what you did
there. I didn't
even
mean it as a joke. I mean, it's what Jenga is.
What it is.
Jenga!
And now we have this new situation with Governor Evers where, I mean, we'll talk more about this, but what happened this week was fairly similar to what happened during the last budget cycle in terms of them kind of taking out a huge number of proposals at the very beginning. But this was on an even larger scale than we saw in 2019.
Well, yeah, I would remind you that a few months ago when Governor Evers made his budget address and introduced his proposal, our theme was taking it up to 11, referencing the famous Spinal Tap scene, because looking at this budget proposal compared to his budget proposal back in 2019, it's a lot of the same stuff, but he was just, you know, turning it up a notch with some of his asks, and it seems like Republican lawmakers are also turning things up a notch in how much they're willing to just blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that this is not like the way that it's always gone in state government. I mean, yes, you expect a back and forth when you have a governor from one party and a legislature from another party, but these are some pretty kind of severe actions that both sides are taking. You know, the governor's putting in hundreds of things that he knows Republicans won't accept. But not only did they not accept those, you know, what the Fiscal Bureau refers to as policy, you know, stuff that could be standalone bills, they are erasing his budget, basically. They are going to build the budget from base, meaning that instead of starting with this bill that Governor Evers sent them in February of this year as their starting point, they're going to start with the bill that he signed 2 years ago, which just doesn't happen very often in state government. You know, that is a pretty drastic step. And so everything the governor was promoting, their ideas, right? He can still promote them. The Fiscal Bureau can still compare what Republicans do to what the governor wanted. But they are saying that as our working document, as our starting point, we are basically going to pretend that the governor's budget proposal of 2021 didn't exist.
So before we get too far down the road here, though, just real quick, setting aside some of the unprecedented unusualness factor of it, and just looking at process for folks who might not be as intimately familiar with every step of the budget as we are, where are we this week? Why are we jumping into it now in terms of the whole process?
Well, I mean, the budget process always follows a pretty familiar trajectory. So we've got the budget address from the governor, the introduction of the bill that Sean mentioned, and then members of the budget committee go around the state, have the public hearings on the budget. They did that this year. They had one virtual hearing that was based in Madison where people could participate from wherever. And then the next step is actually meeting in the finance committee room, the beige room that we know and love, and starting to have these votes. And, you know, as was the case in the last budget cycle, the first step, it seems now, under the Evers administration with the Republican majority, is to take this, you know, big chunk out of the budget that, as the governor proposed it, and kind of set the baseline, which is exactly what they're doing. They're going to the base budget, or, you know, kind of figure out where they're going to start from. So this is the first of the votes. And now they're going to go agency by agency, you know, budget line by budget line, and talk about, okay, this is what was requested, this is what we're going to approve, this is the change we're going to make to this. So it becomes much more kind of granular from here on out, and they take things up kind of individually. So as we do stories, it'll be about, you know, what they decided for the Department of Natural Resources, for example, or Department of Health Services. And then that
Ooh,
just kind
I'm
of,
looking forward to that.
Right? And so then you just kind of go through that. And the deadline is June 30th. Now, they can obviously go past that, and they have in the past, but that's sort of the goal, is to have all of those votes done and have it to the floor of each chamber and passed by June 30th.
Okay. Well, thanks for that refresher on all of the budget steps. And now going back to what happened this week, it's fair to say that the vote that they took this week is not a normal budget committee hearing vote, right?
Yeah, very much so. It's normal in their relationship with Governor Evers, maybe. I mean, a couple years ago, they did largely the same thing, where they took all of this stuff that they knew they're going to vote against and lumped it all into this one motion and took one vote. And, you know, classic Jenga bomb, basically. They took it out.
Classic Jenga bomb.
They took it out of the budget. So, you know, if the budget followed a different process, like I'm just thinking back to when there was a Republican legislature and Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, for example, way back. I feel like with most of this stuff, they like voted on it as the agencies came up. So maybe they would reject a lot of Governor Doyle's ideas, but they'd vote on them when those agencies were scheduled. This time, they're from the get-go, they're just saying no to everything all at once. And their motion, the way that it's written, technically, it prohibits Democrats from even considering this stuff in the future. I mean, they might
like
grant
ever.
Well, during the finance process, they're okay. In theory, they're not supposed to say like, "Hey, we should expand Medicaid so we could have an extra, you know, $1.6 billion to work with." Like, you're technically, that's off the table now. We've dealt with that according to this budget motion, the way it's worded. Good luck enforcing that. But it's just to underscore, we're kind of used to this new dynamic in state government now, where the governor and Republican leaders are just so fiercely opposite. But it's a big deal, this motion that they passed this week, wiping out the governor's budget, basically, and, you know, about 190, quote, policy items that don't have to be in the budget. But then, you know, the other half were stuff with budgetary impacts, you know. It's kind of a big deal.
And I promise we'll get to some of the actual specifics about what was cut here in a second. But just as an aside real quick, sort of looking at the political dynamics a little bit, sort of one of the ideas I've been seeing on Wisconsin politics Twitter, the font of wisdom that it is that part of this decision to lop off this whole chunk is that some of these things are like popular, you know. But unlike what you were saying with, you know, what might have happened with Doyle and Republicans, say, where they look at each of these things individually, this just cuts the conversation off, as opposed to considering each of these things and having a debate where they have to talk about things that are popular amongst the public and why they're, you know, cutting it or not cutting it or whatever, that this just sort of ends it all right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good theory. You know, instead of taking 20 days of votes that includes some stuff that the governor proposed that is popular, you just all at once, we're mixing so many metaphors here, but the rip off the Band-Aid thing, I don't know. Blow up the Jenga. Let's stick to blow up the Jenga. But doing it all at once, they don't have to take those votes day after day in committee. And then they can kind of set the terms, at least in that committee room. And as they're building the budget over the next month, roughly, they can kind of dictate the terms a little bit.
So what are some of the specific things, some of the popular items that the governor has proposed and some of the wonkier items? And you guys want to like do a like back and forth, sort of just like bang through some of these things that are no longer in the budget?
Yeah, there's 384 things. So Laurel, right, you and I will just take turns and go real fast. And a couple hours later, we can wrap it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like roughly 150 each, you know, that's fine. Well, more than that. Yeah.
No, we got up. There's so many things that you thought you were giving a high number, but you're actually lowballing it.
Lowballing it.
Maybe, what, 192 each?
Yes. Good job, John. Good job. So
I got STEM skills. What am I doing in journalism?
You can divide 384 by 2. That's awesome.
It's impressive.
Yep. I'm basically an engineer.
Basically. What are some things? Let's start with Medicaid expansion. Now, I know Medicaid expansion is something we talk about every couple of years in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is one of a dozen states that has not taken the federal Medicaid expansion funding. So Wisconsin offers Medicaid to people up to 100% of the federal poverty level. By expanding it to 138% of the federal poverty level, the state could qualify for all this extra funding. And in past budgets, it's meant missing out on hundreds of millions of federal funding by not expanding Medicaid. But this year, the federal government added a sweetener for those dozen states that have not expanded yet, an extra payment to try to get them on board. In Wisconsin's case, an extra $1 billion in federal funding to expand Medicaid to, and you're talking about to about 90,000 people it would expand it to. It did not change the outcome of this biennial debate discussion that we have in Wisconsin. I mean, Republicans seemed really unswayed by the argument that now is the time to do it, that this is makes financial sense. We got to do it. I mean, you know, Oklahoma is going to expand Medicaid now, but they did it through a ballot initiative. We don't have that here in Wisconsin, you know? So it really is up to the legislature. The legislature is controlled by Republicans. As long as that's the case, I mean, the governor's not going to be able to just put that through unilaterally.
Yeah, I mean, their opposition to it is primarily, they call it an expansion of welfare that they don't agree with, but they're also concerned about the future costs that the state might have to bear if Medicaid is expanded. So that's sort of their familiar opposition that they continued this year, as Sean said. So are we ready to move on to the next one?
I think we better keep moving.
We're just roaring through these.
That okay, John?
Yep. All right. All right. 383 go.
So I think the next big one that a lot of people are aware of and has certainly gotten a lot of attention is the legalization of marijuana in Wisconsin. The governor proposed legalizing medical marijuana in the last state budget in 2019. That obviously didn't happen. This time he decided to, as we mentioned before and in a previous podcast, really turn it to 11, and he was proposing legalizing recreational and medical marijuana. So both of those proposals and the accompanying tax revenue from recreational were removed from the budget. Republicans are, you know, a little bit more split on medical marijuana. Some Republicans, including Speaker Voss, support that. But there's just not enough of a majority within the majority to make that happen.
How much money was the legalization going to add? Do you have that off the top of your head?
I think it was about $165 million, and some of it would go into its own segregated fund for rural schools. So trying to make it kind of more of a sell, I guess, for those lawmakers who maybe are not on board with it being a popular issue just on its own. You do create this fund, and in rural schools, people want to fund rural schools, but that is not going to happen in this budget. I mean, all this stuff, we should say, they took this vote. In theory, stuff could be put back in the budget, in theory, but Republicans have really followed the finance process to build the budget. They can add stuff in the Assembly and the Senate. They could add it later, but I think we have consulted our vast state government observational powers here, and they don't seem to be willing to legalize recreational marijuana here in Wisconsin. Okay, so we got to keep moving here. We've got 382 to go. How about I rip off a few kind of straightforward policy issues that were taken out of the budget? Is that can I take a few at once? Is that allowed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about, right, could you do that, and then I'll go, and because I have a couple in mind, and if you take some of mine, then we'll just, it'll be chaos, but it'll be fun.
Oh yeah, okay. So here we go. The governor put in his budget a restoration of union rights lost under Governor Scott Walker's landmark Act 10 collective bargaining law. It was kind of a big deal a decade ago when those were taken away. And this was another one of those that was not in his budget last year. He put it in the taking it to 11 budget, and Republicans took it out. Also, just going down some more here, requiring universal background checks for firearm purchases. The governor wanted that. Republicans took it out. And creating a system of automatic voter registration. The governor wanted that. Republicans took it out.
All right. Laurel, what you got?
So I was going to mention the automatic voter registration, but I'm going to rebound. There are plenty of other things to choose from and talk about. The governor would have created some new offices in the budget, some new things, some new government entities to perform different tasks. He would have established.
You're going right to the spicy stuff.
Creating
new government entities.
I think these are interesting though, and I think people are definitely a lot of people are really engaged with this issue. He would have created an Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy and an Office of Environmental Justice. So definitely big issues for people. He would have created a Juneteenth holiday for Wisconsin.
Yeah, a paid holiday too. Mm-hmm. So that would have actually been, you know, pretty big, not only in like the national discourse that we've been having, but just, you know, practically speaking, another paid holiday.
Mm-hmm. A pretty big one. And then he had some juvenile justice changes in there, too, that were pretty big. And that was something he focused on in his State of the State address. And, you know, that includes, I don't know, actually.
Charging 17-year-olds as juveniles instead of adults, because we're one of like three states now that still charge 17-year-olds as adults. And
yeah.
There is bipartisan support for changing that, actually, but not going to happen in the budget.
Yeah, not going to happen that way. Do you ever start talking and think, I did a story about this about 3 months ago, and I will remember it while my mouth is moving, and I'll be able to say the just
there's so much muscle memory involved on that stuff.
If I just keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
Our brain's cool. We got there.
My brain was like, nope, cannot access that information.
But I took the baton there. I took the
you
baton.
Did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Teamwork.
Now I've made it around the track, and I'm handing it back to you, Laurel.
Okay, so here's another one that people were definitely talking about. He would have created a copayment cap, an insurance copay cap for insulin in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Some folks know that, you know, insulin's pretty expensive. So that's a very, obviously, a kind of a small niche thing, but definitely had people talking.
Okay, here's one. He would have raised Wisconsin's minimum wage to $10.15 per hour. The minimum wage is one of those very digestible issues, you know. And I'm just going to throw in another one here. We've talked a lot about Wisconsin's unemployment insurance system, and particularly the computer system, which looks like a 1980s Atari game, kind of, you know. It's like black screen with the green characters. It's old. He wanted to replace the system at a cost of $80 million. That was removed.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop you guys there, and we can abandon this ruse that we're going to get through all 384 of these. But you did a good job there. You good job, guys.
We'll put that on the Politics Podcast premium feed.
There we go.
Yeah.
We'll read the entire motion 19, I believe it was, line by line.
So aside from some of these specifics that they removed, bigger picture wise, what does cutting so much stuff from the governor's budget proposal mean for state spending? You know, what does going back to base, as it were, mean for how things are funded?
So we don't know what the final budget is going to look like. We don't know how much money they're going to put into schools is the thing that we find ourselves talking about every couple of years. That's a big thing that the state does, and it affects a lot of people. We don't know what those answers are going to be, but we know this for sure. The budget will be smaller. There is less money to go around than there would have been under the governor's budget, period. Like, that is not debatable. There's going to be less federal money coming in because they're not taking the Medicaid expansion, but also less state tax revenue. I mean, the governor had about $1 billion worth of state tax increases that he wanted, and those are gone, you know. So he wanted to scale back a tax credit for the wealthiest manufacturers and for capital gains. Those would have generated about $838 million over the next couple of years for state government. You know, those are gone. So fundamentally, the budget will have less going forward. Now, there's still money. I think the Fiscal Bureau said that if the legislature just stopped now, they'd have about $2.5 billion in the bank at the end of, you know, the next 2-year budget. And Wisconsin's getting all this federal money coming in. So money will be spread around. But fundamentally, this is not the budget that the governor proposed, envisioned. And he's the governor, you know, he's elected by a majority of the people. And it's not going to be quite what he wanted.
Yeah. And he has, obviously, we know about the governor's veto power in Wisconsin. He can make some changes after the legislature passes the budget, but he doesn't have the ability with his veto pen to add things back in. He can only change what's already in there.
I feel like I'm going to have to reread those opinions on the, because we had that Supreme Court case on the governor's budget veto. Mm-hmm. And there were like 4 different opinions, and I found it very confusing. That's my lasting memory of that. Laurel, you know, you talk about like, I'll just start talking and my memories will come back. I start talking about those, that ruling and the governor's budget veto, I will just stop and fall over.
Right. But I think it's universally acknowledged, despite those complicated opinions from the Supreme Court, that the governor can't use his veto pen to like add in a section about recreational marijuana, for example.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that's
he can't
true.
Do something like that. No. So just so folks know, he can do some things.
He can get creative with that budget veto.
Yeah.
But he can't just get it back and write new words at the bottom.
Right. Right.
In his veto message. Also, pot's legal now. Tony Evers out.
Right. That would sure make things interesting, but they're interesting enough already, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This whole thing has been fascinating. Thanks for walking
shade.
Through this. Anyway, let's leave it there because these Jenga pieces ain't going to pick up themselves.
Jenga!
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Just to help me dry the tears that I've cried, because I'm sure going to give you a try. And if you want, I'll try to love again.
If you're looking to hear more erroneous and completely fabricated stories about many of your favorite popular songs, well, you are in luck. You can subscribe to get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week, and we'll even throw in a little bit of state politics while we're at it. You can find the show on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or review to help other folks find it. And of course, you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcast.